are listening to Backstage at the Naked Comedy Showcase with host Matt Kona. The Naked Comedy Showcase can be seen the first Thursday of every month at 9:30 at Improv Boston, Central Square in Cambridge, Massachusetts, with host Andy Ofeisch. Without any further ado, take your clothes off or leave them on. Here is Backstage at the Naked Comedy Showcase.
We are here with Alicia Siegel, who has been behind the microphone on the Naked Show before, and one time you weren't on the show, but I got you to do the curtain call at the end, where everyone comes out with their clothes on and their balls hanging out of the jeans that they're wearing, if they're wearing jeans. Actually, it's always jeans. No one ever wears khakis with their balls hanging out. They would blend right in if you're a Caucasian man.
To be fair, it took two tries. The first time I chickened out.
Yeah, you thought I was just fucking with you.
Yeah.
Like there was going to be some Carrie-esque pig blood display.
Yeah.
I mean, what did you think was going to happen? The audience was going to look at you, hey, we didn't see him naked this month.
That's a nude dick. We want our money back.
A nude dick? Yeah. So when did you first hear of the Naked Show, and between the first time you heard of it and when you did it, how long was it?
So the whole thing with the Naked Show is you're supposed to bring your friends and not tell them.
Mm-hmm.
I did it to myself. I was just bored on a Thursday, and I came into IB, and I was like...
Just because you know they have quality programming?
Yeah, great comedy. And
Six
days a week. And classes. It's a non-profit.
Yeah, there's fire exits to your left. This is the opening announcement they make.
So I just said, give me a ticket to whatever's playing. I had no idea.
Wow.
And then Andy came out. And I'd seen Andy at Oberon. I'd seen his Naked Act before.
Wait, when did he... Because they used to have Naked Show at Oberon occasionally, or was this part of a variety show?
It was part of a variety show. Yeah. And then... I had like barely started comedy. I think I was still... I might have still even been in my comedy class. So it was at least a year before I actually performed at the Naked Show. Texted me on a Tuesday.
You remember the day of the week? Yeah. Oh, because it was the following Thursday?
Yeah. You kind of texted me like as though you had already booked me.
Uh-huh. I kind of do that. I'm not so good at communicating occasionally.
Yeah.
For instance, tonight I booked someone... I guess I told to hit up Andy, and he hit up Andy and said, hey, Kona said I'm doing the show tonight. So that's why I'm not doing the show tonight. I'm just podcasting.
You booked yourself out of the show?
I guess so. But it's cool. I would rather be behind the mic podcasting, I guess.
Sure.
I guess not really. But it doesn't matter. I've done this show like every month for the last 300 years. So So you did the show 2 days notice?
Yeah. Yeah. I had the day off that day.
Was that... Andy was hosting that, right? Wasn't the week or the month I host like one or two shows a year.
Yeah, Andy hosted that one. And I was incredibly nervous. I puked up my lunch.
Oh, no.
A couple hours before.
Oh, thankfully it wasn't on stage.
No, not on stage. And I was just like pacing around like a madman backstage and like chugging water and just like freaking out. And I remember like...
Chugging water, is that a nervous thing? Or are you trying to cut weight? Or water load like a fighter? Because we'll get into that. You've written some interesting articles about food and the lack of food, I guess.
Break that down.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I get...
We'll put a pen in it.
I get dry mouth when I'm nervous. So I just was, I just like kept downing bottles of water. But the thing is, like, once you're, the minute you hit the stage, you know, Andy introduced me as doing it for the first time ever. So I'm already walking out to a huge applause.
Yeah, this is one of the most supportive audiences that there is.
Yeah.
Which is great, because when you're out there, you have no support.
Hey.
Hey, talking balls, hey, and bras. Guys and girls. I don't know why I did that voice, but yeah. But you had a great set the first time. I remember it. I think you might have had something where you weren't sure about your opener opening joke.
Yeah. We actually, that's the opener that I use now all the time.
Oh, okay. So do you think this helps facilitate you being more comfortable with it?
Definitely.
Or was it a new thing for you to open with it then?
So I'm a guy with a girl's name, and I tried like a bunch of different opening lines. Trying to remember. I bet you didn't expect this girl to be so handsome. I think it was the first one. And then for this one, you and I kind of workshopped and we came up with, don't feel bad, my mother was expecting a girl too. And that's been my opener ever since.
Yeah.
It's good. It sets a good tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So yeah. Hey, I got good value out of the Naked Show.
A lot of people that do it for the first, well, actually not the first time. A lot of people who do it like to do material for the first time because it's like a hot crowd. And sometimes if you write a new joke, you bring it to an open mic, maybe most of the crowd is all comics and they are not the best audience members.
Right.
Whatever. So a packed house is a good way to find out if something is funny. So
packed, definitely like sympathetic crowd. It's a good way to get confidence in your material. And I think to that point, that was the biggest audience I'd ever performed in front of. So if I got to get naked to perform in front of 150 people, I'll do it.
Yeah. Hey, I think that's the reason that I first did it. I was just sick and tired of doing Wednesday night spots to almost nobody.
Yeah.
Just couple layers difference. That's all it takes.
I mean, I literally am coming from a show that was me and 10 other comedians in the room. I would kill to be on stage right now. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, the best part about that, I mean, you could go up and do the audience participation thing. Have a ringer. That's how some people have done it in the crowd the first time. I should try to narrow those people down.
Yeah.
Those stage time hogs. hey, they paid a cover price. They are an audience member for the duration of the show that they purchased tickets for. So,
it's like when you go to the WWF, you can chant whatever you want, bring whatever sign you want.
Not as many people bring signs to the Naked Show, I have noticed.
No, we should start that trend though.
Show us your shirt. Sarcastically.
Yeah.
Now, when you did it, when you accidentally brought yourself here, when you were the friends that you didn't tell,
yeah.
Did you consider, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll go up and tell a joke for the audience part, or were you in total, nah, I'm just going to watch this?
Oh, I was definitely not going to do the audience part. And I was dead set on never doing the show, ever. And then, it's hard, you know, as a comic, it's like hard to say no to stage time. So ultimately, that's what it came down to.
Yeah.
But
especially, you know, if I'm asking you, opinion of Matt Kona.
Sure. Well,
he wants me to do the show. I better do it.
Yeah.
Although people have no problem saying no to the roast battle, which I also do. First Sunday of every month at the Armory in Somerville, 191 Highland Ave, 8 p.m.
Great show.
Sunday.
It's a great show.
Yeah, you're a former champ. We'll have you back.
I'm a three-time champ.
Three-time champ. Undefeated. Undefeated?
I've managed a few contestants.
Oh, yeah. You're a trainer as well. All right, quickly go about where we can find your stuff online, because you're a writer. You've done restaurant reviews, and as a fan of mixed martial arts, you did a little piece about weight cutting. Tell me about that.
Sure. So you can find my stuff. I have an online portfolio at barelyliterate.me, and then all my social media is at Cream of Soup, so that's Instagram and Twitter. I train mixed martial arts. I'm a little guy. I'm like 5'5", 140
pounds. Bantam weight, okay.
Yeah.
Catch weight between bantam and feather.
Yeah. So I train mixed martial arts with a bunch of UFC fighters, and I write about food for WGBH, and I thought it'd be a fun angle since we're always talking about fancy food and chefs and cocktails and stuff that's, you know, it's interesting, but it's not necessarily practical. I thought it'd be fun to do a story about sort of a food as fuel and nothing else. And combat sports athletes go through this crazy process where it's called cutting weight, where they basically deplete their bodies of all the water a day before the fight so that they can weigh in at a certain weight and then come back usually like 20 pounds heavier within the next 24 hours. And it gives them a bit of a competitive advantage. So yeah, I covered the UFC fighter Tony Martin, definitely an up-and-coming guy. It was an interesting story. Like, he walks around 190, 200 pounds, but he fights at 155. So that's it's a 12-week process. He gets down. He can lose about 10 pounds overnight and then put back on 20 pounds in the next night. So,
wow.
Yeah, he walks into fight week at like a 165, weighs in at 155, fights at 175.
Wow.
It's pretty intense, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to talk to you more about that on Nick and I's podcast, MMAniacs.
Yeah, anytime.
Also available on iTunes.
What else can we plug?
Yeah, just other people's podcasts all the time. Awesome. Thank you very much, Alicia.
Thank you.
And we'll be back. Welcome back to the Naked Comedy Podcast, backstage of the Naked Comedy. Welcome back to our intro. Whatever. That's the name of the show. At Backstage Naked on Twitter and Instagram, if you're looking for someone to follow. It's not that hard a title. I mean, we're at the Naked Comedy Showcase. The podcast is Backstage. The name of the podcast is Backstage the Naked Comedy Showcase. How could I fuck that up? I did it.
Alan Fitzgerald. No.
Oh, God damn. What a long day. Oh, Alan Richardson, forgive me. Alan Fitzgerald has never done the Comedy Showcase.
The amount of times
I've been
confused for Alan Fitzgerald.
I'm not confusing you. I've been up since 6 a.m.
No one's ever gone to me and actually thought I was Alan Fitzgerald. It's just when they say Alan, it's a coin toss.
Alan Richardson, no. No one's ever thrown a drink in your face and tried you for the verbal crimes of Alan Fitzgerald.
No, although I've been committing them in his name. But I think someone, I assume, he's been at like the comedy studio before.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't, but...
What?
People
really?
Have frequently been like, dude, people were saying you had a great set at the comedy studio the other day. I'm like, yes, I certainly did.
Okay, well, let's get into that a little bit first before we talk naked comedy. Comedy Studio is a club in Harvard Square at the moment. It's at the Hong Kong Cafe. It may be moving locations or something.
Ooh,
are you just waiting for the new location to finish that there? Because I mean, I waited a year before I tried to do it, but you've been doing it longer than a year.
I've only lived here for a year, though.
Okay,
so I mean, the last couple of years.
Right on schedule.
Yeah, the last couple of years, I was driving down here every day, and it was like an hour drive, so. I wanted to, if I was driving all the way down here, I wanted to be on somewhere.
Yeah, on spots. Yeah, because they have a policy they would like you to watch 3 shows first before you perform there, or at least lie about 3 shows that you watched there when the host wasn't hosting.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a tip. Oh, just kidding. Don't do that.
Insider baseball going on.
Oh, boy. I feel like there's a lot of comics who are going to listen to this. I'm going to get in trouble. I think I'm banned from Laugh Boston by making a joke about open micers. Just walk by the door guy and say, I did the Tony V show, and you get it for free.
Well, if you're still looking, or still listening, just book me there.
Yeah.
And then this whole argument can be over.
Great. So, you just did the Naked Comedy Showcase for the first time. Give me your thoughts.
It was fun. It was good.
All right, our next guest is...
No, it was like, I wasn't really nervous. I've been going through, like, my car's been breaking down every other week, and it's been costing, like, $500 a bunch of times. So I've just been really broke and having to live in Haverhill for a few days at a time to steal my mom's car and going back and forth. I've been so stressed out about that all month that, like, today I woke up and I was like, oh, shit, I gotta be naked today. I was like, all right, I don't care. And then I was like, oh, that's how you can tell you're stressed out when this is like, at this point.
Yeah.
But I was looking forward to it. I was always, growing up, you know, bullied fat kid. So now to have people pay tickets to look at me naked, it just seems like that ultimate vengeance.
Yeah.
But it was good. The second I took my clothes off backstage, I was like, this is freeing as hell. This feels good.
Nice. Now, was it cold backstage? That's been a complaint of some of the comics.
No, I mean, it was. I mean, I, you know, that's just how I am. It just looks cold. It was weird being naked for so long and not even, like, grabbing my nuts, you know what I mean? Not even doing, like, a, what's going on? Like,
you mean while you're on stage?
Yeah.
I mean, not that you normally grab your nuts on stage, but...
No, but normally...
Some people get naked really early backstage.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, as soon as a comic before them goes on, but...
That was me, but I was just standing there. I was just enjoying the breeze.
Oh, okay, cool.
Never been a fan of wearing pants.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I played drums in a band for years.
So, no pants, pretty much.
Yeah, it would always be just in a skirt or in a briefs or in a tutu. So, it was always, like, mostly naked.
A tutu?
Yeah.
But isn't that restrictive or just the top tutu?
Just, like, the frill part.
Okay.
Just so I looked like a fancy lady.
Okay. Now, is that... there's punk bands or what kind of bands you... have you played drums for?
I played drums for Carissa Johnson for a while. She just won like the Rumble this year. Yeah,
she won it. That's awesome.
She's the first female to win it. I think it's like 2003.
Wow.
I feel like this isn't like an approach. Like if she hears that I'm plugging her, then she's gonna be like,
I asked because I knew that she did well in the Rumble, and that's awesome.
And then I drummed for Noisebreaker for another year. And we just split up.
Noisebreaker.
We called it Noise Pop. It was very punky. We put out our EP, The Benefits of Quitting, and then we split up.
There you go. You practice what you preach.
We didn't mean to. We had called it that based on like an anti-smoking ad, and then we broke up. And I was like, "Well, I guess now we release the EP, it's gonna make sense."
Time to light up.
Yeah. Time to start smoking again. It's been 3 hours.
Oh man.
But
why did you wear is that a theatrical choice?
Well,
or just for ventilation purposes?
When I play, well, mostly ventilation purposes. I mean, not wearing pants when you're drumming is fantastic.
Yeah.
But when I drum with Carissa, it was myself and her and Tanya Dumachowski on guitar. So I like to say we were an all-girl punk band, and I was their twin sister, Buttercup. So I would just kind of be a lady on stage. And then I just like wearing women's clothing on stage, so... carried on through Noisebreaker.
Yeah.
It's very, if you've never worn a skirt, it's like hauntingly comfortable.
Yeah, I've never worn a skirt. I have worn women's clothing on stage, but it was accidental in a way. Actually, John Bagley was part of this story. I won't make this about me too much in the segment, but...
No, please.
I did a show on New Year's Eve, and I was planning on doing the Polar Dip the next day, and I wanted to buy a... pair of Speedos, but I couldn't find any in Vermont on December 23rd or 29th or whatever.
Not even hemp Speedos?
No, so I just bought black ladies' underwear. Well, ladies' underwear that was black. I don't see color. And I wore them on New Year's Eve because
collection.
I was planning on just partying all night and then just going straight to the water the next day. I ended up oversleeping and just woke up in a pair of women's underwear. Not a good story behind it. So back to you.
That was nice. I will say the one thing I wasn't like nervous about, but I had to get out of the way tonight on stage is I have a butt tattoo, and I didn't want everyone.
What cheek?
Right cheek.
Okay.
It is a tattoo of a butt with a tattoo of a butt on it on my butt.
Oh, nice.
Very meta. I was like, I don't want to just turn around and leave and have everyone be like, "What's on his butt?" So I was like, this has to be the first thing. I turn and be like, you know, I have a bunch of butts on my butt. I'm very proud of the tattoo. I don't regret it.
Turn the other cheek.
Yeah. Well, it's a Beavis and Butthead tattoo. And then one of the episodes, they say that's the coolest tattoo you can get.
So, hey.
There you go. I'm kind of on top of the world.
Now, okay, you talk about being a band, Beavis and Butthead, of course. Watch music videos all the time. You occasionally perform with someone accompanying you on guitar while you do sad... humor.
Yes.
Describe that. Tell us about that real quick.
So I just do a character about my wife leaving me, and now I'm homeless in the subway, and I generally will pull... I don't drink, but I will fill up a beer bottle with water and hide it. I had beer in my suit, and then kind of start chugging the beer on stage, and then I'll take snacks out of my pocket. And I just kind of keep screaming into the microphone of my wife leaving me. Then I'll start crying, and then the guitar kind of gets louder and softer. There's one act we did where we had to do 20 minutes as that guy. So in the middle of it, I tried to hang myself on the rafters. I had an, it was Carissa as a plant in the audience came up, and I was like, I'm gonna do a magic trick, and I was like, get on your hands and knees like a table. And then I took off my belt and stepped on her bag and tried to throw the belt over the rafters and hang myself. It was, but it's fun. I don't know where that guy came up with, or came from. It started at that, the Northeast Comic Convention with Mark Gallagher.
Yeah, no, I remember. I don't know if I was there for the first time he did it, but I was definitely...
I think you were there for the first one.
Oh, that
on
was
Saturday.
The inaugural, yeah.
Yeah, because it was just, he said we had a weird show and do whatever weird thing you've ever wanted to do, and I was like, oh, well, I'll try this out. And then it just became, it's really fun to do. It's like addictive to do. It's different than regular stand-up because you're just kind of screaming.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know, I think that stuff's interesting because you just get jaded watching stand-up all the time.
But, thanks, man. Yeah, so, people seem to enjoy it. It got us to the finals of two competitions up in Portland.
Awesome.
We didn't win it, but...
Hey.
Hey.
If your goddamn wife didn't divorce you, maybe...
Yeah. No, it's fun. You can find it online. Someone had taken a video of one of the shows and posted it.
All right, so if people were going to search, what would they search?
Alan Richardson at Empire.
Oh, okay, there you go.
And there's no mention that it's a character. So you're looking to find it and be like, oh, he's just a real sad guy.
Oh, man. But you have a self-released album you put out.
Yep.
With all your social media.
Called An Unknown Man in Unknown Places. It's available on Bandcamp. It's alanrichardson.bandcamp.com. Buy it for $5. And you follow me on Facebook or on Twitter and Instagram. I'm 10 Gallon Mr. Allen.
10 Gallon spelled out 10. Or is it
G-E-N? Yes, okay, 10.
Cool. 10 Gallon Mr. Allen, thank you very much for being on the Naked Comedy Showcase, backstage, whatever you call it, podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Alan Fitzgerald signing out.
Yes, get set at the studio. All right. Hi, Allie Simpson.
Hello.
How are you?
Pretty good.
So you just did the comedy... The comedy naked for the first time.
Yes, it was cool.
All right. Yeah. So immediate thoughts when you first heard about the show. So you are based out of Portland, Maine.
Yes. Yeah. First, I don't know how I first. I think I first heard about it just from comics who come down from Portland who came down to Boston, did the naked show, thought it was great. Portland tried to do its own naked show, did not go well.
Well, I didn't hear about this.
It went fine, I guess. It went fine when it happened, but it wasn't naked because...
there laws or something?
Well, it was not accurately communicated to the venue what we would be doing, and it's typically a folk and blues old person venue who I think their brand was... I don't think it really fit with their brand, so...
See, that surprises me, because I would think a lot of folk... And bluesy people would definitely be nudists. They would.
I don't know. So there's a lot of to do about it.
So what do you
mean?
Had
to wear underwear, and the women had to wear pasties, which was double standard. Some of the men wore them as well. So that was nice.
Oh, okay, there's a little solidarity there. Wow, underwear and pasties. That's. Yeah.
There's some people who got creative with their costumes and. And one guy made, he has a garden, he made a skirt out of rutabaga leaves. Very impressive.
Yeah, I don't even know what a rutabaga is.
They're very big leaves.
Okay.
Not to say he had a big dick.
Yeah, but hey, just big leaves. You know what they say? Big leaves, big garden.
Yeah.
I don't know. How many comics were on that? Who ran that, by the way?
Ian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
because I've
the
asked him to,
because
I've asked Ian to do the naked show before, and I,
yeah, that's how I got on the show. I think is because I think Sam was going to ask him or something, and he said no. So,
he just didn't want to travel. Yeah. That's the thing. He just wants to. He's like, yeah, I'll do your show, but it'll be my show and 2 hours away. So I'm not leaving Portland. Wow.
So, yeah, it went well once we did it, and then I wanted to try this, and then when Sam Pelletier, who I came down here with, told me about it, I was totally down, and, It was fun. It was cool to be back there. Like, I was one of those people that gets undressed, that got undressed really early. I was just kind of bouncing around, doing some stretches. I like to do that. So it was very freeing to be able to stretch to, back there. Mm-hmm. Very easy laughs. I don't know. That's nice.
Yeah. So did you prepare a specific set for the Naked Comedy Showcase?
Yeah. I just have a lot of, like, body-related stuff, like, about body issues and sex jokes everywhere, you know? So it's, I kind of try to pick my more physical jokes. Like, I have a joke that requires me to show my butt to the audience, so it's ideal to be naked and showing your butt to the audience.
They can see it all. Yeah. They know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So. That's nice. All the jokes were, made for the show, I guess.
See, that's something that I don't always consider, or I don't realize until I'm doing it. If I'm doing a physical thing, and then it might get a laugh. I remember doing a joke, and I think something jiggled a little afterwards, and people laughed at that.
I try not to think about whatever was jiggling or whatever. So it's like some of the laughs, I'm like, are they laughing at the joke? Something my body's doing? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly more interesting than just standing there.
Yes.
Behind a mic stand or something.
For sure.
It's usually my go-to move lately. But it's because I don't stretch enough naked.
I did some crunches in preparation, some cardio before I came up here.
That's a long ride. It was about 2 hours. What time did you guys leave tonight?
Yeah, well, we always get lost when we go to Boston. It just happens because we left at like 6:30 or 6:15. So we got here like 8:30, 8:45, something like that. So.
But when you're in a car for that long, you gotta stretch it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did anything surprise you about how things went tonight?
I don't think so. The audience was, they all seemed to be sitting up very straight. nothing too surprising. I was hoping the anxiety would taper off a little bit, because usually once I get through my first three or four jokes, I feel better. This was more like swimming in Maine. It was just like, nope, I'm still cold. Water is still cold. Not used to it yet, so I think if I were up there a little longer, it wouldn't have been as bad, but.
It was just 5 minutes, right? Because there's about 57 comics.
We're very cozy backstage together.
Oh, yeah, right in that little broom closet.
Yes. Yeah. So, glad we didn't all have to be naked at once for whatever reason. It would have got pretty sticky.
Yeah, a little bit. A little turpentine there. Now, do you have any. Because I've had friends who have had nudist parents. Have you had any instances with being naked in public before? Or
oh man, no. I think it was like kind of like just like my fear for a while. I guess I was very like covered up in school. Like in school, I dressed very conservatively for most of my life. So there was a time I didn't wear like a bra to school one day. And, like, all the girls were like, that's disgusting, you should wear a bra, that's so gross, we can, you know, see all your shit, and,
What grade in school was this?
I was like 11th, I was like a junior.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I just didn't feel like wearing a bra one day.
Yeah.
I hooked up with one of my high school guy friends many years later, and I told him that story, and he's like, oh, yeah. We all noticed that day, they didn't say anything. So that was the closest I'd ever been, like, I don't know.
They're not going to say anything to you. They're like, oh, she keeps doing this.
Yeah. So I'm glad. I'm glad I brightened people's day one day back in 2006. So they remembered it. So, yeah.
Now, will you try to bring a show to Maine to save yourself a buying pasties or a long ride?
Yeah. It'd be cool if we had a proper naked show. It'd be depressing. I don't know, because it's Maine.
Yeah. All right. Well, if people are visiting Maine, what's some shows to check out, or what would you recommend?
I would recommend the Laugh Shack at Lincoln's. That's the room to go to.
That's always every Thursday.
Every Thursday, it's a good showcase. at Blue. It's every Monday. Yeah, those are probably the best shows in town.
So. All right. So where can we find you social media-wise?
Yeah. I have a lot of anxiety, so I don't really do much social media. Yeah, so I'm there. I'm on Facebook, I guess.
You're looking at other people's. Yeah, you're looking at 10 Gallon Strands.
I heart things. Yeah. So that's what I do. Telling jokes in Maine. Doing some shows. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for doing the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. This is the second half of the Maine doubleheader. First time Naked Show participant, Sam Pelletier. Give me your hot take, first thoughts.
First thoughts, honestly, is like shell-shocked. Like my nervous system is going. Like I get a fight or flight response. And you always kind of get that to a small degree on stage. Once you get some experience, it doesn't really bother you set to set. But that first time Naked... like, scary. Like, audience was really cool, but I had some inclination, just like, I'm very exposed. Like, if you want to,
keen insights.
Oh, yeah.
No, sorry. I also host a worst battle show. I can't help but shit on people. Okay, so go on. You're going good with the analogy. I derailed it.
Yeah, very exposed. That's the level of comedy that I bring to the podcast is that no, but it was a really fun time, you know, really, really good crowd, happy with how the set went. It was just a real new experience, and I was kind of out of it. Like, I wasn't as focused as I usually want to be on stage, because there's too much focus on the fact that, like, my dick's out and there's light shining on it. Also, I feel like...
like, there's a light specifically on your dick. Multiple lights, like Commissioner Gordon is just aiming for your balls.
Absolutely. And one thing about being from Maine, you know, we're not city folk, we're not urban, and I think the uncircumcised, I think that may have thrown some folks off a little bit. I wasn't trying to look at the other comics, but the ratio on that, like, I was one of the few people that brought a hoodie, I guess, and that was tough.
At least it wasn't flannel. Oh, man. Could you tell the audience was... did you see a noticeable reaction? Or... I mean, because you could... how well lit was the crowd? I know it can be...
oh, the crowd's pretty well lit. Like, you could see their faces. Like, I talked to a... addressed a dude in the front row, and he was like viciously nodding at one of my stupid sex jokes, and it's like, that's guy get it. Like, I can see him, that guy gets it. I can see him, yo,
wait,
real
was
clearly.
The joke about oral sex? Was he nodding along?
No, it was actually about erectile dysfunction, and sort of when you get the perfect amount of drunk, how you can kind of maintain your boner through anything. And I had brought that joke specifically, but I have a tag on it where it's like, my dick makes other people feel bad about themselves, and I realized that works great on stage when they can't actually see how pathetic my dick is. Like, when you don't know, that's funny. When you do know, you're just looking at a guy bragging about his dick with absolutely nothing to brag about. Just sad Irish failure just right in front of... how many people? I mean, packed room in Improv Boston, I don't know how many people that is.
Somewhere between 120 and 130, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I like when they add the extra row of seats there, too. Back to the circumcision. Why did you choose never to be circumcised? No. Adult circumcision, pro or con. No. So did you hear about the show before I mentioned it to you? I remember talking to you about it a little bit at the show in Empire a month or two ago.
Yeah, and thanks for, you know, throwing the spot. Super appreciate it. I had heard about the show. I did know that it was a thing. I, you know, this is obviously my first time doing it. But, yeah, I hear only good things about everything that gets done at Improv Boston, really.
Yes,
it's awesome.
And...
and the podcast hosts are amazing.
Why,
like, they're just,
you.
You know.
That's what I like to hear. Now, you've already answered partially the question that I asked to Allie and Alan the other first time. Actually, I didn't ask Alan, but strike that for the record. You can pick this in post. Did you prepare a specific set? I know you said you did that joke, but that you mentioned that you usually tell the joke with clothes on. Were you doing it to get out of your comfort zone or to see if it worked, even if it didn't make as much sense as it normally does?
I was doing it, you know, artistically to make sure that the joke works in front of every audience. I want to stay true to my material. I was way too lazy to write a new tag. So that's where I was, where I was at. Let's be honest about that. I changed some stuff up, Boston versus Maine. Cause you do, you know, Maine's so far away from everything. You have stuff in your material that's so local reference that you can kind of forget about that. And I have one, example where it's like the Cloutiers are pussies because there's tons of French names up in Maine, and I changed it to the Finnegans.
Okay.
I wanted an Irish name, but not like so like O'Malley, just hacky. Yeah. Finnegans was probably pretty hacky, but just an example name.
I don't know anyone named Finnegan, but it does sound Irish.
So yeah. Boston-y. I stayed away from the Fenway Park controversy. I felt like they didn't want to really hear about that one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's Peanut Gate.
Yeah.
Orioles jokes. Gotcha. Because how often are you busting out new material? Because you stay on top of things. You did a lot of political stuff around the recent election cycle and before that.
Absolutely. You know, and it's room to room because you want to, in Maine, there's shows in Portland, but there's also shows farther north. It's actually a great market because no one comes to do comedy there. We did a great show, in Greenville, Maine. We had Justin P. Drew come up and do that. It was really fun. But
now, paint us a picture without us having to go to Google Maps. How much further north of Portland is it?
You get to Portland, you drive 2.5, maybe 3 more hours.
Okay, so it's about 5 hours, 5.5 from Boston?
Yeah, and not all the more rural rooms are that far. That was just one example. But they're super, you know, they're super conservative up there, so you want to limit the political, because I'm super liberal, and limit the dick jokes. So I've been working on cleaner stuff.
Trim the dick jokes?
Yeah, just trim them real nice. I try to have, you know, I try to have a new 5 minutes of rough, you know, material every week, and then I try to have a new 5 minutes added to my set, you know, every month if I'm busting hard, because you know most of that shit you try out, you know, it's going in the garbage. It's just not going to work. So yeah, it's around the ratio. Might be being a little generous myself, but you know,
hey, you gotta be generous. Pamper yourself. Now, do you still run a room? Is it Be Good?
Well, yeah, I did. I ran Be Good as an open mic. That was an open mic, and I did that for about a year. I had to move, so my friend Pat Bolduc, who's now in Chicago, he took over that room. And that, you know, it doesn't exist anymore. We kept that open mic going for about 2 years. And I had you on an Augusta room at Charlemagne's.
Yeah.
In Augusta. Cool. Yeah. And I'm not currently doing Charlemagne's, but we have a show in Richmond, Maine, which is about as far from Boston as Augusta is. You know, you get to Portland, you go 40 minutes or so north, and the first one of those is going to be on May 18th in Richmond, Maine, room called the Old Goat up there, and it's pretty like it's a mix of like kind of rowdy but also hippie. They got like pictures of like naked goats, like very Greek nudity up on the walls.
You mean some of the greatest of all time? Goats. Okay. G-O-A-T. Greek athletes.
I love the rap references. It's just, it suits you.
Yeah, well, you know, nothing should suit me on a naked comedy podcast.
Think
about it. I'm sorry. I should ask questions instead of just trying to. So, overall, the experience, were you happy with it? Was it like what you thought it would be? Exceed your expectations? Fall short?
Yeah. Happy with it. Always when you go up, there's something you wish you did better. There's something that, you know, falls short. But as far as expectations, I really didn't have any because I was mentally blocking the thought of doing this. Like, what I was doing was, I'm going to get up, I'm going to do it, I have my material, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to think about going up naked in front of everyone, because that's, you know, that's literally like a nightmare in a sitcom.
Yeah, you suck yourself up.
Did. Yeah, so I really came into it just with a try as open of a mind as possible, and that's why I tried to do with it, and I had a really fun time.
Awesome. Well, thanks for doing the show. Where can we look you up on social media?
Yeah, so my Twitter handle is at Pelletier Jokes. You can go, you know, I have a Facebook page for the comedy with the same name. I'm working on getting Snapchat. I do not yet have Snapchat. It's been recommended. I don't know if my girlfriend would like me having Snapchat.
You know what? Here's what I say. Don't get Snapchat. Just buy one of those rubber dog's noses and just wear that in all of your pictures on Facebook. It's DIY. Old school Snapchat. It's like Snapchat on vinyl.
Hell yeah.
All right, Sam. Thank you very much for being on the show, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome back to the Poopcast. Dan Martin,
now,
you have been on the show before, but you are my favorite naked show participant.
Oh.
You're great, and great on stage and off. I think before we started doing this show, I thought we should have just done a podcast where we're just recording our conversation backstage.
Yeah, we're both just nonstop pun makers.
Yeah, but we have things, but it's not just puns.
It's
also hilarity.
No, it's not just puns. You're right. It's a lot of talent.
Yeah, and modesty.
Well, you have modesty. To be humble. If I've learned anything in my 8 years.
And we are the best at being humble.
You are the best at being humble.
I know.
I am so fucking humble. The most. And modest.
Just soak it in. Drink it in, everybody. See, I knew by starting the show with our great interactions, we would fall short.
We can't. It's okay. Can't hold up.
So, we didn't actually have a conversation with you before. You were just kind of hanging out.
Yeah, I came in last, 2 months ago, or whenever the first
episode
one.
One.
Yeah,
Phantom Menace.
So the worst one.
Yeah.
Now we find
the Jar Jar Binks of that episode.
Misa? Now we find out Matt's my father. It's a bunch of bullshit. Oh, man. No, but I was here. I was hanging out, and I just was so out of it that night, I think, too.
Yeah, it's a late-night show. You drive in. Do you usually work all day?
I usually work all day. Thankfully, my Thursdays are now, I get out at like 12:45, so.
Oh, perfect.
I had the whole day to chill.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what do you do on a day where you have 8 hours to kill? I mean, I guess aside from, what is it, about an hour drive? Traveling from Rhode Island up to Cambridge?
Yep. So I went home. I live in like a loft condo mill building. I played some video games. I wrote 3 jokes. Oh shit, I'm doing it. I'm tapping the table.
You're playing whack-a-mole?
I used to run a podcast and know not to do that. Okay. Next time I'll just kick it over.
Yeah, that's it.
So I played some video games. I wrote 3 jokes that I had in my mind. Cause I go out here and there, but for the past 3 months I was in a stage play.
Tell me a little bit about that.
It was called Barry Weintraub Legacy, and it was the 3rd installment of the Barry Weintraub trilogy, which is like this nerdy space adventurer guy. I played a villain named Mr. Whisper from the planet Xenon 9, who originally tried to take over the world with a device called the Nullifier and failed. You find out Barry Weintraub's my nephew. In the second play, I stole his baby son as soon as it was born. And then 10 years later, it took 10 years for this one to happen. But 10 years later, you find out I took the baby down a time portal, and he comes back, and he's the villain, and he's older than his parents. And I come back, and I work at like a convenience store on Earth because I'm trapped here. And then it's a bunch of craziness. Could be a movie. They're talking about it tomorrow.
Wow.
There's a meeting. There could be a movie. So for 3 months I did that at rehearsals, and during that time
How long was the run of the play?
It was 3 weeks. We did 8 performances in Rhode Island. normally we take our show, Daydream Theater Company will take their show from the spring or fall to New York, but we're taking last year's show to New York in a couple weeks in July, into June. So it's been crazy, so I've been doing that. And I, June 25th, if anybody is hip to the internet, you can Google this. Go to the Columbus Theater website in Providence, Rhode Island, and you can get tickets to see Long Night in a Dead City, which is my first feature film. I play a detective in a horror movie.
Whoa!
Yeah, so that's coming out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Where is that? Is that the theater on Thayer Street? Or
that's, no, that's the Avon. The theater in Columbus is on Broadway.
Okay.
It was actually a porn house a long time ago. It was an art house theater, a porn theater. It was like a... I think it was also like a vaudeville theater. It's been around a long time. Now it's a theater again, like Eugene Merman plays there.
So it was vaudeville and porno. So they did who's on first and who's jerking on first. That's not that clever.
No. Who's on first?
Who came on first?
First is the girl we got last week. Second base? Yeah, I felt her boobs.
I think we're just writing a play now.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the long-winded explanation of what I've been up to. But so I wrote some jokes.
So normally what you do to prepare for a naked show is you do a play for 3 months earlier that afternoon, and then you tweet out some stuff, and then just get your fucking car and then wait in a broom closet until you're summoned for the podcast.
Pretty much, yeah. I also had some Chinese food.
Ooh, locally or in
at my homestead.
Yeah.
I got it at Yamafuji in North Smithfield. If you're ever in North Smithfield, Yamafuji, they make some killer noodles.
They're actually a sponsor of the show. Hey!
Yay.
If you use the promo code hashtag backstage at the Naked Comedy Show podcast while ordering online from Yamafuji in North Smithfield, you get a free menu stapled to the outside of your bag.
If you use the code hashtag I just have naked noodles. That's what.
Yeah,
naked soba.
Yeah,
yeah.
You get a free fortune cookie.
Yeah, glass of water.
That's for in-store purchases only.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got to be there. You can't take that to go.
Oh, I would love to order Chinese food and ask for multiple refills of a cup of water in my thing, because that's one of the best parts of going to Chinese food.
Yeah.
You get so many because they just give you that little cup.
Yeah.
The yellow hue.
The good place, you're right. The good places just put the pitcher on the table.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, you're going to want that. This food is all salt. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, and we're not going to want to come back.
Yeah. But I will be around. I will be doing one show a week now because I've got the daughter. She's 10.
Yeah.
We adopted her last year. We had the wife and the full-time day job. So I'll be doing one show a week. Most of them are booked. I'll be at the studio May 28th. I haven't been there in 2 years.
2 years?
It's been a long time. Wow. Yeah, I haven't been there in a while. Well, I've been there to see stuff. I hadn't had time to book. So I'm back doing that. I'll be doing one show a week. And I'll be doing like open mic if I'm not booked 1 week. Or I'll be going.
If you're in town already for a show, maybe.
Yeah. Or I'll be
going. What day of the week is 28th?
Sunday.
Okay. Yeah. You should stick around. There's a really fun open mic at the Midway Cafe in Jamaica Plain.
Yeah. Sunday. I'll come up.
Yeah.
So I'll be doing that stuff, and I'm back. I took 3 months kind of not off. I did sets here and there, not that many. I still got it.
I still got it?
Yeah. Well, it's been about 8 years of stand-up, so every now I'm comfortable to take those short stints and do other projects.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Now, do you approach the Naked Show any different than you do with regular stand-up, or have you? I mean, you've been closing it up for a while. If you come here, you're the main dude at the end. I mean, tonight there's 1,100 comics.
Yeah.
So you may not be doing like the typical 20 minutes or so.
Right.
I don't know, but how do you approach it? And sometimes you do have to do that length of time when there's that many comics in front of you, which can be even harder because everyone's conditioned to just shorter sets.
The thing is like, you know, if you're doing comedy as long as we have, it's not glorious. There aren't that many stages where you're going to get 20 minutes 15 might be the most. You might be a headliner, quote unquote, making 50 whole bucks. You know, and unless you're getting paid, by the way, you shouldn't call yourself that.
Yeah.
You just went last. But that's the whole thing for a discussion. But
yeah, we're not we're not sponsored by Can of Worms.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to open that up. Yeah, yeah. No. Hashtag Can of Worms. If you use the promo code.
If you use the promo code, longstanding problems with the way comedy is currently booked in 2017 throughout the world and on social media.
You get a free can of worms.
Yeah. You get a worm with one gender.
I heard, you know, some fish can change their gender at will. Not worms, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, where was I?
Headlining. The benefits of doing a longer set, and not all stages have that available.
Yeah, so you don't get a lot of that. So, like, I guess when I first started doing the Naked Show, of course, you bring your five. And, you know, I remember the first time I did it, it was 4 years ago? I've been closing it out for almost 3 years now, going on three.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but I've been doing it for, like, 5 or 6. So I remember the first time I did it, it was, of course, like, I was nervous and shaky, but I did it. And afterwards, I was like, was I naked? Did I remember to get naked? You know what I mean? Like, I knew I was, but it just didn't feel... It felt like comedy still. It just felt natural, because I'm sort of, like, don't care about... I mean, I care about my body, but, like, I don't care about other people seeing it.
Yeah, presentation.
So, yeah, it's fine. Yeah. I wasn't too embarrassed, and so and the jokes went well, and I realized that I was still doing the same stuff. But as Sam mentioned earlier, I wouldn't talk directly about my genitals. You know what I mean? I remember thinking, like, they could see them, so there's no need to do those stupid... I think it, like, really curtailed my writing that way, where it's like, don't need to write things that aren't so much true about you. And that sort of got me, and you've seen my set, it made me more honest. So I would come to the show every month to keep myself in check. And that's kind of how I approach this show. Like, I'm going to come up, I'm going to do my most honest stuff, and that's going to help my brand, or whatever it is, my voice. Just
building what you're putting out there.
Yeah. So that's what I like about the show, is, like, you literally are naked, and figuratively, in my opinion, you can be vulnerable and still be funny, and that's what I like about comedy. I like guys like Jim Norton, who are just not afraid to talk about sucking cocks and whatever they might have done in their lives.
Yeah, and laying it out.
Yeah. And make it interesting and make you want to hear it and stuff like that. So,
now, did you have a breakthrough in regards to that style outside of the Naked Show, or is that something that doing it helped you facilitate or discover?
I think it helped me facilitate it, because up to the Naked Show, like, you know, I was doing the studio, and, like, I was doing the Connection in Providence, and just trying to jokey joke and, like, get into the clubs. Mm-hmm. And then there was a time where I was like, well, you know, and you realize when you're a couple of years in, like, all right, you're not going to make it yet, or maybe ever. So you can do whatever you want as long as you kind of are a decent person. I gotta go do comedy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Dan.
Thank you. We could talk forever.
Yes, absolutely. And we will.
Yes.
I'm gonna make a rule that's called the Dan Martin Clause. You can come back on the Naked Comedy Show, backstage podcast, whatever we call it, anytime you want, because we want to dig deeper.
Awesome.
And follow @FanMartin on Facebook, Twitter, all the major social media sites.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Awesome. First time podcast guest, second time Naked Show participant.
Yes, sir.
Pete Andrews.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Now, as someone who has done the show before, how did it differ from the first time you did it and the second?
It's weird how smug you can be to first timers.
Me?
No, I can be. Oh, okay. I didn't realize I had it in me until I was giving condescending advice to people who've been open micing for 6 months. Mm-hmm. But it's addictive, and now it's all I want to do, so I can't wait to get back out on the scene.
Yeah. So you got to start convincing the comedy studio host to let you perform nude. You're like, hey, it's Cambridge.
Yeah.
I prefer it this way.
This is how people know me, and they respect me for it.
Now, you do a show in Newton.
Yes, sir.
First Monday
of every month, Terry O'Reilly's Ranting and Railing Comedy. It's a great show. I rip off the comedy studio as best I can under trademark law and put on the best show you'll ever see for free in Newton.
There you go. On this half of the D-line.
Yes, sir.
Of the green line.
Matt Kona has crushed as a headliner and a feature.
Why, thank
you. And he sometimes drops in just to open up for us. Yeah. So it's a great show.
See? And Mondays are it's a fun day to do comedy because it's a, especially if it's a decent room.
It's nice when you surprise people between episodes of Law and Order.
Yeah, yeah.
Dun-dun.
All right, so the first time you did the Naked Comedy Showcase, what were your initial thoughts? Can you remember? This was back in November.
It was.
Do you remember
the first time? I cannot believe your memory for knowing that. Man, it was really just like, I don't think I knew. Because stage fright's been my number one issue since I started trying to do comedy.
Wait, but was that an issue for you before you did comedy? You think that hindered you from beginning to do it?
It was always something I had, like, in PowerPoint presentations in school and stuff. But you muscle through because you have to. But as soon as it came to this, it was like, I think I can write. I'm not sure if I can stand in front of people and say it. And this was kind of that test. If I could do a naked set, I think I finally considered myself a little bit like a real person performing. Not even a comic, but just like someone who can stand on his own on stage. And getting up there that first time and realizing, like, I don't look down very much in my set, so you don't notice that you're naked, was like the most empowering moment ever, because it was just like, oh wait, I can do everything I always did. So it freed up a lot of tension from the rest of my act in other shows.
Oh, so you saw results in the way that you performed in the shows to follow.
Yeah, it was like leveling up. Like, you know, achievement unlocked. Pete can be nude in front of strangers now. It's only as embarrassing as it's always been.
Yeah. So then why the long layoff? Was it just a schedule thing, or you just thought, well, I did it once, that's cool, now I've moved on, I have this ability, have to keep going back to do
no, it? No, it was never the layoff. Honestly, to quote the great Ron White, I have a work ethic issue. I forget that I should be reaching out to other people to get on shows, and then it's like, oh shit, I really want to be on that. Oh my god, it's been 6 months.
Yeah,
and
fine.
Then I realize I like need to get my life in order and invest in a calendar.
I got one for you, man. I got one.
Thank you, sir.
Not on me, but
I'll work it out.
I'll mail it to you if my work ethic brings me to the post office.
Yes, sir.
Did you prepare a specific set the first time you went out, or did you just sort of do your thing?
I did the best one-liners I had compiled over my 2 years in a comedy. It was like, all right, this will work. And if anything fails, I can quickly run to the next thing, because I don't want to get caught naked in the middle of a story.
Yeah.
That was my nightmare. And tonight I was able to go a little more long form with it, so that second time was like, okay, like, I guess I've grown in the interval.
Yeah.
Which is always a nice feeling to experience.
Yeah, it's always nice to be naked and grow.
Yes. You know? Yes. Better than shrinking.
Yeah.
You don't wanna shrivel in the moment.
You're a grower, not a naked shower.
Wow, Andy needs to make those bumper stickers.
See?
Right away.
We gotta be merchandising this thing. Can't make t-shirts, sir. Only bumper stickers.
Well, don't want to give the secret out too much.
No. Come on, and you make a t-shirt, it's got to be clear.
I've never heard about a show as often as I've heard about people going, so I knew this guy, he was really funny, I worked with him, and he told me to come to a show, and then I got there and everybody was naked.
Oh, man.
And I've had that pop up at my corporate office job, at dog sitting gigs, like just random around towns. It's like, you either hear, I went to the comedy studio, or somebody got me to go to see this show, and all of a sudden everybody was naked. And
that's a
beautiful legacy to leave, like, or have, continue, grow.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring your friends. Don't tell them what it is.
Trick them.
Yeah.
It's always the best. Surprise nudity is always the best nudity.
Fun with deceit. That is a staple of good, interesting comedy. So, you didn't rely necessarily on the one-liners tonight. You sort of just did what you would be more comfortable with your act? This is more of a recent...
Honestly, the goal for tonight was to do my act, not tailor it for the room, just do the 5 minutes. I've been trying to make my tight five. I mean, you know, as well as anybody, like, you got to keep writing, make that new five, then next five.
Yeah,
and
keep finding it.
So that was the whole thing. That was, don't do jokes you did last time. Do your current five, what you're working on. And I am happy to say I did it and seemed to get a good response from it.
Awesome. All right, so we're winding up on the end of this month's episode. So where can we find you on social media? Any things to check out? Any history of nudity in your background? Have you ever gone streaking? Had it been locked out on a hotel balcony naked? Something like that.
My history has been mostly on the amateur circuit, but nice. Apparently I did have a love of getting drunk freshman year and showing off how I looked in my swim team Speedo. So not quite nudity, but more embarrassing, if that's possible.
Well, because you're wearing the skull cap.
Exactly. It's the bald cap that makes it awkward. It really does. I've been Pete Andrews. You can find me on Twitter at ThatKidPete. And first Monday of every month at Terry O'Reilly's at Ranting and Railing Comedy.
Awesome. Thank you, Pete.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, guys. It was a great show.
All right, my favorite way to end the podcast is to talk to the man, the creator, the curator, and the host of the Naked Comedy Showcase, Andy O'Fleisch.
That's me. Hi, Matt.
Hey. So last week we brought down some guests who did a naked joke for the first time. We're mixing it up this time. You brought your girlfriend and some news from the Hubble.
Hello! This is Jess Mortel, the Peddling Pineapple. I will be biking across the country this summer, so excited to be here.
Awesome. Is there a social media site that people can follow?
The Peddling Pineapple.
See? Yep. I buried the lead in my... Nice. Wow. Where's your destination? Seattle, California?
Yes, Seattle. So we leave New York City May 29th, Memorial Day, and we land in Seattle, and we are the Green Riders. We are biking across the country in service of others. We're doing good deeds on bikes, so super excited about it. We're going to be planting community gardens, working on farms, organic homesteads, so definitely check us out.
Awesome. Now, Jess, have you ever done the naked bike ride?
I haven't. I want to, though. Yeah. Oh, so I also need to get on stage.
Yeah. you can just ride a bike. Getting on stage is just like riding a bike.
Yeah.
If you've been on stage
sure.
before and ridden a bike before, I guess.
Jess has been naked in public, though, so that's something.
Okay, so that was a subject or a thread that we tried to bring up today to see if anyone had any previous naked instances, whether it be streaking or showing up at someone's house naked. No one brought that up, but I feel like that there's something under the surface.
We went to the clothing optional resort in Vermont.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a resort. Well, yeah, we went to the Ledges, and I've been to Hot Springs, so yeah.
Now, when you go to a clothing optional resort, how many people are opting to wear clothing?
Not many.
Yeah. And are they ostracized by the naked community?
It also depends on what time of day you're talking. Like, if you're at dinner, a lot of people show up in clothes at dinner.
Yeah. Or topless.
Or just a bib.
Just the...
That's awkward.
Yeah. But hey, that's what makes it fun. I just came back from Vermont, Ben and Jerry's. I went to just Ben and Jerry's. No, I was in Burlington, but I did visit the factory, which is the flavor graveyard. Where in Vermont is this place, and is this the only clothing optional resort you've been to?
It's southern Vermont. It's also known as the Harriman Reservoir, and it's basically a man-made lake, and there are lots of ledges like you can jump off of. And there's a whole section where you go down a path that's about a mile long, and you pass some signs that say, you might see naked sunbathers. And then you get naked. Once you see that sign, as soon as everyone understands the rules, There might be naked sunbathers. That includes you. And there's three groups that show up there. There are the new age hippie nudists. And then there's a kind of a gay pickup scene. And then there's a weird third group, which is like gaggles of teenagers that don't give a fuck about the nudity. They just want to jump off a high shit. And, cool. And the coolest thing I ever saw was this one ledge that's like 20, 30 feet off the ground, right? And these teens are like jumping off of that, and this like 60-something-year-old hippie naked woman goes up to that ledge and then climbs the tree and goes up another 20 feet, and then you see her up there and she's standing on like a pallet that somebody like nailed to the tree and strapped it in. I'm like, whoa, that's a thing. Like, you don't notice it until somebody goes up there. And she knew about this thing, and that was her spot. And she, like, did, like expert swan dive off the thing. And this everybody, every nudist, every gay pickup guy, and every teen was just going, holy fuck. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
That's how you steal the show.
That was, like, my favorite thing. It was, like, she was just waiting for her spot.
That's awesome. So, how was the naked show tonight?
It was awesome. It was so fun. Yeah, everyone was really funny.
How many audience members did you have?
We had three.
Okay, pretty good.
Two comics, one civilian, and then I tried to get him back here, but he wasn't interested
in talking. Cool.
All he wanted to do is, how can I get on the Naked Show? And I was like, all right, get your 5 minutes together and do some open mics, and then send me a link to your set for 5 minutes, and then I'll check it out. And then we'll decide. But, you know, I don't like people. That's why I got the audience slot. You want to come up and you can just do a naked joke. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
I want everyone to have a chance at it, even if you've done it before. I mean, we have some naked joke veterans, you know. And occasionally a naked joke veteran will graduate to a booked slot. But I always tell people, go work out your shit on a regular old stage and then come back.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes doing a shitty open mic after you've just told a joke in front of a packed house is more tense than telling the first joke naked.
At the very least, I need the comics on the show to know what it's like to bomb.
Yeah.
I can't have people finding out what it's like to bomb on my show.
No. That's not painful. Good. Yes, absolutely. That's
it's
a
like
good point.
It's like humiliation.
Oh, yeah.
Awful.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Bombing nude.
Well, I hope that
it does happen, but it's rare.
Yeah.
Because you get a lot of leeway when you're naked.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're very supportive.
Because the audience starts out impressed.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're doing something they're not willing to do.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes...
Most of them.
Like, the classic backhanded compliment to an audience member to a comic at a clothes show is, wow, I could never do that. That was so brave. And you're like, oh, was it funny? And you're just like, no, it was just... No, it wasn't.
It's like when they say an MMA fighter can take a punch.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, boy, he took a punch.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, we're not getting hit at all.
How about
that?
He took a lot of punches. At one point, that's not going to win you a fight. Yeah. So that's good. Well, hopefully we will hear from this participant if he... does his homework and goes.
I hope
and,
so. I love when the Naked Show can spawn a new comedy, a new comic, or sometimes a new storyteller.
Yeah,
you know, because that's another way you can go.
Mm-hmm.
And storytelling's a little less of a lift because once you start out with a story and you bring like an arc. And there's a point to it, and there's, you know, a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it takes a little bit of the pressure off of getting the ha-has.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So tune in next month to see if that happened. But, yeah, so you guys...
Oh, yeah, let's talk about this thing that happened the first time ever.
Yes.
I got flowers.
What? A bouquet of flowers.
I know.
So sweet.
From the owner of Hubba Hubba. On Mass Ave in, where
it's,
exactly?
It's between Central and Harvard.
Yeah.
Between Central and Harvard.
Mass Ave and Ellery Street. Yeah, it's my bike route.
And right it's a sex shop that has been around forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same ownership forever.
Yeah, they used to be down by the Middle East and a little bit further near Harbor.
Now, here's what's awesome about Hubba Hubba. They've got a lot of sex toys. They got a good selection of glass pipes and various paraphernalia and things, kinky stuff. So you can hit hit other people with it. No, you don't want to hit people with the glass
pipes.
There's also like really kind of like vintagey porn and like porn magazines.
Yeah.
If you want to get your old style jerk on, get a porn mag.
Boston's Blackout 2 years ago, that came in handy for me. That happened.
Yeah.
Had some and then the power came right on, so extra shame.
Here's what's awesome is most of what you can get there is like sexy clothes. Like kinky, sexy, either like all black leather, you want to go that route, or like the frilly underwear. But what's awesome is anything you pick out, you try it on, right? Whoever's behind the counter, when you step out of that dressing room, they always say the same thing. Hubba Hubba. And I feel like $1 million every time I go in there. I just try, even if I don't want to buy anything, I'll go try something on. And if they don't say Hubba Hubba, I'll be like, hey, come on, I'm here, Hubba Hubba.
This is your policy.
They do, they say it. They'll say Hubba Hubba.
You were just here yesterday, come on.
That is great. Yeah, so awesome. Big ups to Hubba Hubba for the bouquet of flowers. And check them out.
I can't read the other name.
Susie from Hubba Hubba.
Thanks, Susie.
Yeah, super sweet. Thank you.
Amazing.
Well, thank you. And that's old school, bringing flowers for the performers. People don't do that enough anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Step it up, modern audiences. You want this to be a monthly tradition at the Naked Show.
Yeah.
So bring your friends. Don't tell them what it is, but tell them to bring flowers.
Awesome.
Awesome. All right, thanks for
hosting the podcast, Matt. This is awesome. I love that you do this.
Some of the most fun I have every month. And follow the podcast if you're not already on Twitter and Instagram at Backstage Naked. Special thanks to guest producer Alicia Siegel. Get well soon, Nick David. He's having some knee surgery done. Should be back on his feet in no time. And thanks again to Improv Boston for always having us. Dan Martin, everybody who was a guest today. And good night.